All right, Dr. Cook, the challenges and the sense of loneliness, or certainly life transition for a person who has had a newly arrived child, and how it might be aggravated in some respects for Meghan Markle. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. When a child arrives into anybody's life, the world that you knew no longer exists. And for new mothers, especially if you've had the child, your body is going through hormone changes. The infant, you know, it's hardwired in our DNA to want to spend as much time with our mothers as we can, parents. And your mental space, or what I like to call mental space for thinking about whatever you want, is no longer there, because all of the extra time that you once had to think about what you wanted to do is now consumed with, when did the baby eat? When did they last go to the bathroom? Did I hear a cough? You're so overwhelmed and all consumed with the infant and child that no matter the fact that you even have staff helping, even when your baby's not around you, your mind is thinking on them.
So what percent of women would you say suffer significant loneliness or sadness or trauma related to the baby, as opposed to what some of us growing up heard was the big factor, joy?
I think every single woman, the severity or the degree to which you're referring to, if you're talking about postpartum depression, which is the most significant form of loneliness and sadness that a woman can experience after having a child, they report that at less than 1%. But because of my position as a psychologist and the fact that I'm very open with my own personal struggles with parenthood, I've had friends tell me that they never told anybody else when their child was little, but they knew at one point they were feeling psychotic and they couldn't be alone with their infant, but they couldn't tell anybody because they were afraid that DCFS or somebody would come and take their infant away from them.
Wow.
I think there's more women who experience that than is reported. And then for the other end of the spectrum, people who just feel, you know, women who feel lonely or that sense of sadness, I think every single one has experienced it at some point or another.
In this,
and yes, babies are joyful.
Sure. In this age of social media and interconnectedness, is it easier not to be so lonely, or there are just as many challenges from social media as benefits?
That's a really great question. And I think that it is a very complicated one to answer, because in one sense, social media does allow people to have a connection. It's a digital connection, so you are not having the sense of energy shared with when you sit in the same room as somebody. And there's a distance that can be experienced with social media. That being said, for people who live in rural America, or individuals even in large cities where they don't feel those around them they can connect to, and sometimes that's even family they don't feel connected to, social media is an opportunity for them to feel validation, to feel heard, to have a sense of community. So in that sense, social media definitely can help. Every sword has two sides to it. The other side of that is you become overwhelmed with what everybody else is doing. What is everybody else's child doing? Oh, they rolled. Mine isn't rolling. What's wrong with me? I must be an awful parent. The thoughts that race through a parent's head when they are comparing their life to other people on social media can be incredibly overwhelming, and it's comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah.
Because what people post on social media, is, as every single person knows, is not their real life, because we all post things that aren't necessarily real, and we want people to believe that life with children is happy and joyful, and it is. It definitely is, but it doesn't. There's the opposite, you know, the other side of that sword is it's very, very difficult and at times very lonely, and those times of darkness can be longer than the times of happiness and light. And so I definitely related to Megan's sharing her experience.
Yeah, and for people joining us, talking to psychologist Dr. Bethany Cook, and the challenges for Meghan Markle with her newborn, but then again, challenges for every woman, every parent in that situation. In a way, you would think it would be easier for Meghan Markle. It's not as though she has to worry about creature comforts, finances anymore, none of that. But on the other hand, her every move chronicled by British tabloids and tabloid photographers, and she did an interview, and some people challenged that interview, but she said that her situation has made her marriage to Prince Harry challenging.
Absolutely. A baby will challenge any marriage, no matter if you're a prince or not. What I think is different for non-royals, or what we want to say average people like me and, you know, people who aren't famous, is that we are not in a limelight. Meghan cannot leave her house without being perfectly put together and presented. And there are times when you have a new baby, you don't want to get up. You don't want to get dressed. It's all you can do. You've been up all night feeding. And yes, she has staff to help, but you can't have somebody replicate the mother-child bond. There can't be a nanny who can fill the need that Archie requires, and that can only be filled by Meghan. So no matter how much money a person has or how much help they have, that individual, that parent, still has to carve out time and space to be able to absorb a whole new individual into their system of self and allow them to develop and give them the needs that they need. I mean, I don't know if Archie colicky. If he is, that's awful. I mean, having a child who has colic is hard on our parents. There are things that we don't know about him that the media obviously doesn't tell, but they're not going to tell. They're just going to say, more than likely, Megan, you know, had a hair out of place, or
yeah,
I don't know, her socks didn't match. Like, oh my goodness!
Of course, she was a TV celebrity, but nothing on the level of what you experience as a royal. I got to say, looking back, let's go back several generations. You had the extended family, perhaps grandmom, grandfather to help. On the other hand, a lot of things were closeted, and you weren't able to get consolation from some other parties. So, would you say it's a draw how things were some years ago? Yeah.
That's a really good point, the extended family. And I think it's a draw in some ways. And, you know, you had the extended family, but the extended family didn't always do what you as a parent would want them to do for your child when you left. Or they want to do it their way when you want to try to break a pattern, a familial pattern of maybe spanking or yelling or things like that. And you're unable to do that because you live so close to your family. So fast forward 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, families are spread all over the country. Sociologically, we no longer have that tight-knit community that you're referring to, and families are either forced to create those connections by making friends, either through church activities or shared interests in sports and trying to build that sense of community that they used to have. And in that sense, when you're able to build it yourself, you can put the people in there who you want. You know, you can say, this person's going to listen to what I say.
Yeah.
Or a babysitter. You know, sometimes it's easier to pay somebody to watch your kids than to have a parent who even lives close watch your children if they don't respect your rules and what it is you're trying to do with your child.
Understood. So if somebody really wants to help a close friend who seems to be above her head, just drowning in childcare, what do you offer that is helpful versus not helpful?
You say, when, you don't say, can I do anything for you? Because the list is so long that a new mother's going to go, no, it's okay. And also society tells women that they're supposed to be able to do this. Even though we've progressed a lot, I think a lot of the stigma still is there that says women shouldn't be able. So what I would say instead is, what is your favorite dish? Instead of, can I bring you a dish? What is your favorite meal? Do you have somebody who comes and cleans for you? If not, I have this awesome company. Would you mind if I paid for a couple months of cleaning? And is there a specific time that would work? Give them a back rub if you come over. Bake them a cake. Offer to babysit for free. When you show up, you know, don't worry about the dishes in the sink. Yeah, I know. Don't worry about it. But do it for them anyway. And I think things where you don't have to ask them what they need, but if you can see things that they need. I mean, I just remember holding, anytime somebody walked into the house when my children were little, and, do you want to hold the baby? Here. Just getting that break of having something on you all the time is huge. And sometimes people won't ask because they're afraid. And it's not like everybody's exposed to being around young babies a lot. So I found a lot of people were afraid to hold a baby that they would break it. And so just say, no, it's okay. Sit down. I'll show you. You're not going to break the baby.
Well, you bring up an interesting demographic fact. Fewer people have babies at a young age. And so maybe unfamiliar with holding a baby. And that brings to mind my final question, Dr. Cook, which simply is, as women are going to childbearing at a later age, is that good or bad for psychology? Good, more maturity, not the stress of also being a teenager or a young 20-something, or bad because you're used to how your life was with creature comforts, and all of a sudden you have this new being in your life?
I was 36 when I got pregnant, so I know all about being they call those geriatric pregnancies. And being older and wiser, there is an element of, you know, I have more patience. Obviously, when you're sleep deprived, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's really difficult to cope. But, you know, you're older, you're wiser, you've had experience. On the other hand, I don't have as much energy as I did when I was in my early 20s and 30s. So walking up and down stairs, carrying babies in and out of cars. Sometimes if you're not a fit older parent, then that can be a challenge. But I think in this day and age, it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be around children that are babies, and you can volunteer at centers of, you know, maybe babies who are addicted to crack. They need people to volunteer and hold those children and comfort them. That's how important touch is. So, you know, I think there's pros and cons to each side, and every single family unit is different and unique. And I think that not comparing yourself to other people and looking at what it is you are bringing to the table. Are you young and vibrant? So how can you reach out for wisdom from people that you trust or that you feel connected to in their way of parenting.
I got to ask very quickly at the end, you're in Chicago. Do you think there's any place that is friendlier, easier, or tougher in which to have a baby?
Oh, you have more resources in large cities than you do smaller areas. And I think it depends on the person. If a person in their heart is a country person and wants, needs land to feel safe and secure and good within themselves, and their children will flourish in that environment more so than if a parent is living in a city and has lots of access to stuff for their children, but they're unhappy. Kids feed off of that. So I think, you know, it kind of depends on each situation.